There's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is our number two as we continue to chat about your New Orleans Saints and rookie minicamp in the books. Some of the things that stood out, we touched on JT Barrett. One of the things that definitely stood out as well. You're going to hear from defensive coordinator Dennis Allen, and you're going to love it, I guess, if you're a Saints fan, because he uses the same word right now to sort of describe how he feels the early parts of this season or off season are going that he used last year. And if you liked what you saw from the Saints defense last year, well, then you'll like the fact he's using the same word. We'll definitely touch on that here as well. Plus, you'll hear more from head coach Sean Payton. And yes, look, if you turned on Get Up, it's the new Mike Greenberg, Jalen Rose, and Michelle Beadle show on ESPN in the mornings. It was a topic right before 10 o'clock. Adrian Peterson back with the Saints. Could it happen? Sean Payton was asked, you know, if they were going to go after a veteran running back, would they go that way or not? Is he somebody you consider? He said, sure, why not? It was a good relationship. It wasn't a bad relationship. You know, everyone keeps posting that GIF or that picture of Adrian Peterson with the death stare to Sean Payton. Things of that nature. Somehow ESPN's taking that as, uh-oh, Peterson on deck. Look, I said it last week. We talked about it. Maybe greatest show on turf 2.0. You can sort of see how they're going to use Alvin Kamara. I think they're going to go with their players. They go, we'll play exactly what head coach Sean Payton had to say about looking for a veteran running back, staying with what they have. What do they do? And yes, Jordan the intern found the one little piece that we were talking about. When Josh Casestine of the Times Pick UNOLA.com asked, well, you know, there's staying away from OTAs, from Mark Ingram and all that. The envision is contract status changing in Sean Payton. Nope. Nope. I could have told you that. If in the past they waited to the first week of the regular season before they signed Drew Brees, getting banned for four games and staying away when Sean Payton Saturday said, yeah, do I think he should be here? Yes. Comma. That's not going to help you renegotiate a new contract. I'm just... my wild guess here. Anyway, a huge day for those of y'all like Jordan the intern, degenerate sports gamblers.
Yep.
Look at you. What did you say when we let off the show with you'll be able to start doing this? You say you're going to win what kind of money?
Big money. Big baller brand money.
Big baller brand money. Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports. We have him on Fridays to go over odds. We call him Mr. Vegas. Who better to bring on and talk about the big day today as the Supreme Court ruled, was it 7-2, I think, in favor of overturning or getting rid of the federal ban of being able to bet on sports in this country. I saw somewhere, Rafael. First off, how are you? Man, good afternoon to you on this Monday.
It's a little busy today, but I think I'm not shocked about what happened today. More than shocked that you guys just used a big baller brand. I didn't think people still use those three B's.
Oh, well, again, he is Jordan the intern. He's
the youth.
You're the youth. The youth movement. That's right. But you haven't bought one of those shoes, have you?
No.
Okay, thank you. Here's the thing. It is a big deal today, right? I mean, it's a big deal because obviously it ruled in favor of New Jersey. But there's a state closer to us that is ready to go, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Mississippi, pretty much, I say, two states that could probably take action in less than 2 weeks or by week one, New Jersey, and it's going to be Mississippi. No grumblings what I'm hearing. Gros Rivage and other casinos in Mississippi are in full-blown, ready to go, ready to start taking some action. So I think it helps the state of Louisiana, which recently introduced a bill for sports gambling. And I think any state that has a bill that was at least introduced now to what this federal the Supreme Court did today, I think it's going to push along. I mean, Louisiana is going to get fantasy sports. I think that's pretty much a foreseeing thing there for this year. But I would not be shocked if sports gambling, I have them, I have a 10-tier states list. The first five will be New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Mississippi. The next five, I have New York, Michigan, Oregon, South Carolina, and maybe Kentucky. But I have Louisiana. It's pretty, I think it could be pretty close to a jump ship, because if Mississippi goes full-blown, you figure next-door neighbor, they don't want to see all that action. I figure Louisiana could probably do something.
Yeah, it would make sense to me, especially as you mentioned, with all those casinos on a course for Louisiana to get involved in a game. Here's your stupid question of the day, right, for folks that maybe don't follow. Because, I mean, you probably think, well, couldn't you do this before? Blue sheets, gold sheets, you could call in prep vets. Why is this a big deal overall in terms of the ruling, Rafael? Why is this a big deal today?
Because everything else was illegal besides the state of Nevada. Now the Supreme Court says, hey, it's up to the states now. We're going to legalize it. And if each state that wants to do it, it's up to you guys. If you guys want to pass it, we'll full-blown. We're not going to blackball you. We're not going to say, hey, no, hold your horses. The NFL says no, so we're going to stick with the NFL. The Supreme Court pretty much said, hey, it's out of our hands. Each state can do what they want to do, and I think that's going to be huge. I think a lot of states are going to take advantage of that. And like I said, I think it's for sports bettors and for people who are going to be around, like, let's say Mississippi or let's say New Orleans, let's say that happens. You'll be able to put betting kiosks maybe around the stadiums. The bars are going to be full on there because you can be able to take bets at the bars. I think it helps everyone because now you have not only marketing and advertising money coming in, not even gambling money.
I didn't even think about that. I always thought you would have to go to like some sort of like OT, you know, off track site thing or a casino. I never even thought. So technically this allows, say, Rafael and Gus's bar. I could just take bets at the bar.
No, now you would have to get either MGM, William Hill, another source of their line service. And they will bring in either a sports book or a betting kiosk, and they would have to put it into Rafael's bar.
Got you. So sort of like a video poker machine, you could have some sort of kiosk or something to where you can just do it that way.
That is correct.
Wow. I mean, that is huge then when you think about it, because I can tell you this, from knowing people that run, you know, restaurants, bars, what have you, people that have worked in the service industry, they will tell you their majority of the take in a lot of places is video poker. So if you're telling me that I can go have a beverage, watch a game, and there's a kiosk over there, I can go touch a screen, you know, and pick my Cubs to blow it or beat Tim Grubb's Pirates and then make a little something off of that, dude, I can see how that could help a lot of people.
Yeah, people think we're just talking about sports gambling and all that, but we're talking about bars. We're talking about stuff around us, arenas. We're talking about marketing where – companies will be able to market through those apps, through those websites that are going to start going out, or through those kiosks. It's money being made, not just in the sports gambling aspect. It's all money that can be made around that industry.
Well, I tell you, that's crazy when you think of when you said that the stadiums and things of that nature, because when you take a look at, speaking with Rafael Esparza, we call him Mr. Vegas, he joins us on Fridays, join him on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports. One of the things that I find interesting is Adam Silver and the NBA have been ahead of this. They've been saying, we're going to do it. We're going to be all about it. Let's do it. The NFL's almost treated it like the plague. They said they've been studying it, but they're really iffy about it and stuff. Obviously, the Raiders going to Vegas opens up things. When you take a look at this, to me, it almost seems like leagues are going to try to embrace it. How can leagues embrace it and have it benefit them, Rafael?
If you're a league or someone that's just looking for how much benefactor it would bring in, call one of the English Premier League leagues and see how much gambling helps them with the marketing, with the money coming in. If you look at a Liverpool game, all they have is like Bet365 ads on there. They have gambling stuff on their jerseys and stuff like that. Like I said, it helps all aspects, not just the sports gambling, from a marketing point of view. I think that's how the leagues are going to benefit. You're not going to try to tell me that the New Orleans Pelicans are going to say, okay, Harrah's, if you want to put your logo on our court, you have to pay us such and such to put your logo on our court and stuff like that. It's going to bring in multiple kinds of money coming in on all aspects. just on that point of view, using here as an example, because the casino's right walking distance from where the Pelicans play, you're going to see marketing through. I would think Harrah's and the Pelicans will probably have a handshake deal if that ever legalizes here, where you're going to see multiple marketing aspects to that point of view.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You go up to go get nachos or get yourself a little beverage, and there's the kiosk right there, brought to you by Harrah's, right there in the concourse level. You can go and boom, go ahead and do that. Yeah, look, I'm with you. I think it's that's, I guess, the most interesting aspect of this, that I originally was like, oh, great, so now I can go to Harrah's and make some bets there, or think of it, Raphael, like Vegas, where I have to go into a casino and do that. Does this open up as well online?
What I'm hearing is mostly, for instance, I'm going to use the Bora Rivage as an example. Bora Rivage will build a book. You can go place bets in there, and they might have a mobile app maybe through this football season where, let's say you're at the pool area or you're at a restaurant in your room, you can just jump on your phone and place the bet there. And then when you check out, you can't use that mobile app anymore. But I would think by next football season, maybe 2019, you might have more, a statewide mobile app where all you have to do is just live in the state of Mississippi and place bets, or you might have a website that be able to do that. I think 2019, you'll see a lot more aspects. I think this football season, you're just going to see a small sample of what's going to happen. 2019, 2020 is when you're going to see more mobile apps, online betting kiosks all over the place. I think this football season, you'll see a small sample of what could happen.
You know, your segment just got a lot more important on Fridays during the football season, right?
Yes, my job on Friday and my radio job has just got very important these last couple of hours.
I'm just saying, I mean, Carver, I'd like to send Carver to nice school, you know, I mean, you know, whatever. What are you looking at me for? Jordan, the intern's already, he wants to know your personal number. It's ridiculous. Stop it. Jeez, I'm Pete. I think it's definitely a big day for sure. Obviously, if you're into it and you like it. And again, I think you can have a little fun, and like anything else, if it's done responsible, you can enjoy a little action and have a little fun. It is interesting, as you say, though, the ability to maybe, depending on how the leagues and the teams go about it. But man, to go get a nacho and place a bet, or to go to the mall, or just your local bar or big, you know, restaurant that features a place that you can see a lot of TVs and go eat there, and you can make bets and do that while you're watching games. That'll add a whole different level to watching games now.
Yeah, and you had to figure millions and millions of money goes offshore for sports betting. Now millions and millions of monies will stay here in the U.S. of A for sports betting, where some of that money could be used for really good purposes.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure. Thank you, Raphael, for a little bit of your time. I know you're busy today, bud.
Take it easy. Have a great day, guys.
Yep, we'll talk again on Friday. Look, like I said, George just threw it out there on Twitter as well, at ESPN Radio NOLA, as we just spoke with Raphael, Mr. Vegas, as we like to call him. I never thought about that, just thinking about it, you know, and again, I'm just thinking, I just use Raphael and Gus's bar. It's a terrible name. We would come up with something better than Raphael and Gus's. Like Gus's and Raphael's. See what I just did there, Jordan? My name goes first.
No, that's pathetic.
No, it's a really good name. But no, I never thought about that. That's interesting, because when you walk into a lot of places and restaurants, I'm telling you, and my wife worked in the service industry for years, she'll tell you. I mean, the video poker machines is how a lot of people stay afloat. A lot of these small businesses, a lot of these small bars or restaurants, you know, I mean, the food's almost ancillary. You got to have some food, obviously, to help you with the beverages and stuff. But video poker brings in a lot of money. And if right next to the video poker machine, you can put a sports gambling kiosk, you know, again, I don't even know what they look like, but I'm assuming it's probably a touchscreen sort of thing. You can select the game, pick it, swipe your card, or set up your account and do that. I'm terrible at video poker. My wife can put in $5 and get like 20 or 50 or even 100 sometimes. I'm awful at it, right? And she does the same thing I do, by the way. You just hit the little bet button. And she wins. I hit the little bet button and I'm done in like 10 seconds. But no, seriously, like the slots or anything of that nature, you know, they can do that. I've never been into it. I probably don't have the money to do it, which is probably why. But I have some friends that enjoy, whether it's, you know, blackjack or the craps and, you know, things of that nature, roulette and whatever, have a little fun with it. I could totally get into this, though, where you can go to a book and sit there and look at it and, you know, Jordan's bringing up pictures and photos of the sports books at casinos in Vegas, and it's, you know, basically what looks like a bar that you would go to that has a lot of TVs, and you see the lines and everything. You just go sit in there. You got, like, it looks like almost like a press row of little cubicles that you go in there and, you know, you make your bets on your game. So, I don't know. It is interesting. Like I said, I mean, I'm looking at the one photo. It looks like it's a board that almost looks like the airline, you know, board at MSY. It shows you all the flights and everything, but it's each game there, and it shows you the line, and it's a massive screen. And then to the left of that is six TVs showing games, you know, and you can just go ahead and say, I want, you know, Jordan, a dollar on Pels taking on the Rockets. I mean, that's all I'm, yes, that's all you're getting. It's a dollar. $200. You don't have $200.
Got that big ball of money.
Jeez. Give me your dad's number. We need an intervention. Not even a sophomore. You just ended your freshman year in Baton Rouge. This is how things
I'm
go wrong.
I'm in debt, Gus.
I know that exactly.
I need to make the money somehow.
800-998-1003. We'll take your opinions on this here as well. Are you excited about this or not? Or do you think this is a bad idea? You heard what Raphael said. This could bring in a lot of money to a lot of local restaurants, bars. You can get in on this. I'd love to get your opinion on this. Do you think it's a big deal or not? When we come back, I'll give you Curtis Johnson, a little one-on-one with him. Two receivers brought into his room, Cameron Meredith and Traquan Smith. You'll hear his thoughts when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Dustin on Twitter at ESPN Radio Nola. When is JT Barrett coming on the show? Do you think I pushed JT a little bit too much? I don't think I did. I was just telling you. You think?
Yeah.
I was just telling you what I saw.
Might have hurt his feelings.
Who? Why would I have hurt his feelings? I was giving him props. It's not hurting his feelings. On that one play that I've discussed several times already on the show, in which he threw that out pass, Traquan Smith was the recipient of the catch. He is one of two receivers now in the Saints receiving room. And I had a chance to speak with assistant coach Curtis Johnson. Some of the assistants were made available after practice on Saturday, including Dennis Allen. We'll play a lot of that coming up right after this. But look, you saw, right, Michael Thomas get even better. And how many of y'all, when you found out that Curtis Johnson was coming back to the Saints to be receivers coach, were you excited? Because you're like, dude, what can he do? Right? What can he do with Michael Thomas? And he had another 1,000-yard season. It was fantastic. Now you had Cameron Meredith, who he did coach in Chicago in his 1 year there with the Bears. And now Traquan Smith. Nice size, a lot of these receivers. So we touched on all these topics here on Saturday. And I think it's one of those things where it's just a nice fit, right? And then we'll hear from Traquan Smith here. Here's my one-on-one with Curtis Johnson.
I'm sure Dennis Allen was probably happy Marcus Davenport was selected, but you got a pair of receivers brought into you this year.
You know what? Look, it's always good to have good receivers. You know, you can never have enough of them. You just never know. I just love what we did at the receiver position, especially in the draft, you know, to get Traquan Smith, you know, with third-round draft choice out of Central Florida. One thing you know, he's a winner. Arguably, they're the national champions. So I got to throw that in just for him. He's but he's fast. He's good. He led his team in receptions. And, you know, another guy big can catch, can block in a run game. You know, you're just happy. I'm just happy to have him.
You know, obviously, you look at the guys that you got in this year as well, but even last year, I guess it's a compliment to you, Saints fans, on social media, phone calls, what have you. They found out you were coming back. They're like, boy, we can't wait to see what Michael Thomas can do now with Coach Curtis Johnson. What was it like working with him last year?
Excellent. You know, one thing about Mike is very competitive. And so if he's more competitive than I am, he's very competitive. So we go at it a little bit in the meeting room, but it's all in fun. And the one thing about him, man, he's a try-hard guy. He makes plays. He's a great athlete. He can run. He played at the highest level at Ohio State. He's a winner and won a national championship. So he's right on course. And you can never ask him to do nothing that he doesn't want to do. He does it all.
Okay, we haven't gotten to see Cameron Meredith, and obviously fans, media, we're all saying, let's see how he gets, if he gets healthy and all that other stuff. Obviously, I don't think he's here if you guys don't think that can happen. He referenced you, though, in one of the decisions why he came here. What do you know from him? What can you tell us about Cameron Meredith, and why should Saints fans be excited?
You know, I think one thing, this guy is tall. He's another big guy. He's fluid. He's very athletic. He's faster than you would think. He also can catch the ball really well, smart, played quarterback in college and in high school. So all those things he can really, really do. And, you know, his versatility is the one thing that you got to love, his versatility.
When you take a look across the board in your room, got some size. Are you looking up? I mean, you got some guys that know where the weight room is, and you got some size. How can that translate and help on the football field?
You know, the one thing that we got to do, we got to block because we run the ball. We got Alvin and we got Mark Ingram. Those guys are great blockers. I mean, great runners. So, you know, downfield blocking, we got to spring those guys, and that's the one thing we stress now, more blocking than anything.
I know you're a stickler for details, steps, and things of that nature. How can you use your size to get open to use blocking?
Well, you know, one thing that you got to do is you got to come off the ball hard. You got to force your opponent to make a decision there. You're going to take the run or the pass away. And we are big enough now where we can get those guys out of the way for the run, but we're also big enough to go over the top of some of those guys for the pass plays. So I think we can do both of those.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir.
I asked Traquan Smith after practice as well, as a player that's known for his size or you know, they say, hey, look, he's got some size on him as well. How can that help you sort of get open? Here's Traquan's answer.
Basically, I see myself as a bigger receiver, so, you know, I know how to shield off defenders, you know, smaller guys. Like on a dig route, if the guy right on me, my bigger body, he can't just shoot through my body, you know. I can use my body to shield him off. So, you know, I know how to use my body as a bigger receiver, and it's an advantage.
I asked him what it's like to have Curtis Johnson coach him, and, well, I asked him, had he gotten warned as to what it's going to be like. He's a stickler. Again, you're never running a route right. I'll never forget this, especially early on, whether it's Colson. This is after Saints won Super Bowl. I mean, you name it. It's just, it didn't matter. You know, you could have run seven routes perfectly. The next route you don't run perfectly, do it again. All over you. Which, again, is why the Saints receiving core under Curtis Johnson has been so good.
They didn't tell me what to expect, but just being coached by him, he's a very, I say, cool coach, and he coach you all the time, but it's joking sometimes, and like he just wants to get the best out of you, you know. But he's a great coach. I'm glad I got the opportunity, you know, to be coached by him. He's teaching me a lot already, and I can see if I stick with him and listen to him, everything he got to say, he's not going to steer me wrong at all.
One of the things that you heard Curtis Johnson mention, which might be surprising to a lot of you fans, is him saying that one of the things, if not the thing, they're focusing on now more than anything else is blocking as a receiving core. And I know that's why Brian Elise loves him some Brandon Coleman. Let's be honest. The only reason he's on this team. He's a good blocker. He's a good down-the-field blocker. And Kamara and Ingram said last year, a lot of their big runs, their big play runs, receivers downfield blocking. That's what springs a short gain into a long gain, if not even a touchdown. So it's great to hear Curtis Johnson, right, say, hey, look, we are focusing on that as a receiving core. That's what we all want to do. You got to have the guys that want to do that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm sure other teams across the league say that. You've got to have receivers that are willing to do it. You got to have receivers that are built physically to be able to do it. I mean, you can go tell me, go take on that DN. I'm going to get smoked. I'm 5'7". I mean, right? I mean, but if you have a guy that's built for it or a guy that wants to do it, I mean, look, you got a little guy that wants to. That's fine. I'll bring up Boston Scott here in a little bit. He played D-line, folks, because no one wanted to put him at running back. Does that make sense? Seriously. I'll play this here in a little bit. He said that some people, because he was too small, they didn't want to put him at a skill position, so they put him on the line. That makes a lot of sense. Anyway, Traquan Smith said this on draft night, that he enjoys blocking. So I asked him about it on Saturday.
I like to block because, you know, football is a team sport. It's not an I sport, and I love to see my teammates scoring a touchdown, breaking a big run due to my effort, you know. It's all about being a team, and no selfish team is going to win a championship. You know, you got to be a team player and come together. That's how you win, you know, championships.
Now, I also asked him, I say, look, you realize there's been a lot of success with first-year receivers in the Sean Payton system and obviously since he's been here. And does that sort of kind of pop in your head here?
Yes, it kind of put me. It kind of put pressure on me, knowing that a lot of guys came through here and you know had big years, and you know I want that train to fall off when I get here. So you know I'm looking expecting to do big things also.
Now, of course, I played earlier. JT Barrett say, look, what the learning curve was, right? He said, hey, look, they've gotten a half a day of what would be a full 1 day install, not like a first week or a month. A 1 day install that the vets get. They've gotten half of that. And Smith says, hey, look, I get it. And you heard Curtis Johnson say, led his team in receiving. I mean, he's accomplished a lot. Different level.
Really, it's staying focused. You know, it's different from college. You're much more free. You don't have, you know, coaches, you know, really telling what you do. They treat you like a grown man. So, you know, you're really on your own. And then the game is much more faster. I'm seeing it here in practice. Everything go much more faster, and you got to be able to, you know, retain information that you just been taught probably an hour before. So, you know, you got to retain information and stay focused.
You know what? ESPN Radio NOLA is meant for a way for listeners, Jordan the intern, to go back and forth, give their opinions. There he is, Brian TNR, Brian NOLA East, tweeting at us. Go ahead, read what he tweets there. Mm-hmm.
I have 16 reasons why Brandon Coleman is on the team.
You know what? That's why I'm going to ask him 16 reasons tomorrow when he comes on Tuesdays like he does. 16. I want 16 of them. You got all night. 16 reasons. And it's not spelling the word block 16 different ways or adding letters to it. That's not what I meant or mean. Quick break when we come back. Let's switch on over to the defensive side of things. Defensive coordinator Dennis Allen was available on Saturday. Had some interesting things to say. And again, if you're a Saints fan, you have to enjoy and like the fact he used one word in particular that he used last year. It starts with the C. I'll tell you what it is when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Number of folks putting out there that it is veteran defensive tackle Jay Bromley getting a little deal with the Saints. Another tryout player from rookie minicamp. You know, head coach Sean Payton, I'm going to get to some Dennis Allen here, but just because, again, another player signed a deal here, and Michael Ola, the left tackle that was blocking Davenport, he got a deal. What are they looking at? Or what is he specifically looking at veteran tryout players? This was Coach Payton's take.
Well, look, do we have a vision for them? What kind of shape are they in? You know, they've played, and so what do we think they can do to help us? We've got a handful of positions, but we've had players, you know, Billy Miller's a guy that, you know, found his way onto the roster that way. So it's really about, how quickly are they getting up to speed? The same evaluation, really, that's taking place with the rest of the players.
So, look, that's just for what it's worth, what he's looking for to do that. And, again, none of these players and, you know, just about competition. That's the C word that Dennis Allen was using over the weekend in reference to what he thinks this defense is going to be. Again, really first time he had a chance to kind of chat with him since the end of last year. Kind of see where things are going here as well. But, you know, I think one of the things that you have to be happy about if you're a Saints fan is he said this last year. He said, you're just going to grab players, throw them in there. If it seemed like that position group had too many, settle it out on the field. Right? That's what he said.
Well, look, I see a competition all across the board, and not just specifically at the linebacker position. You know, I see competition at every level of our defense. Nobody has made any concrete decisions as to, you know, who's playing where and how much guys are playing. That'll be determined throughout the process of this offseason and in training camp.
Now, a lot of this was coming off of, you know, follow-ups and such with the Mario Davis. You know, is he competing with A.J. Klein? Who's going to be calling the plays? Things of that nature. This is where Allen had to say on it.
Here's what we see. Look, you can't ever have enough good football players. And I think a lot of times guys get, you know, really caught up in where a guy's at on the depth chart right now, and that's really not any of our concern. No different than what we did last year. We're going to put all those guys out there. We're going to move them around. We're going to let them compete. And, you know, at the end of the day, between the process of OTAs and minicamp and training camp, we've got time to evaluate. And our job as coaches is find out who can play and then put them in positions that allow them to do the things that they do really well and try to limit the things that, that maybe they're not quite as good at. So healthy competition is what you're striving for in every team, because that's how you get better as a team.
100%. Now, and I love hearing that. Another player the Saints signing too, saw this a little bit earlier, failed to mention, Adam Marshall. He played tight end, but looks like he'll be trying out as a fullback. Ryan Juracek. You like how I said that, Jordan?
Kind of sound like Mirotic.
No, sounds nothing like Mirotic.
No, the way you said it.
No, no. Well, I gave him a little ethnicity. Yeah. Juracek. He could be from Kansas for all I know.
Could be.
Right now he's Juracek. The look Jordan's giving me is great. So yeah, look, I love the fact that you want depth and the fact that you need that depth. And I kept mentioning, especially in that linebacking position group, last year's defense, boom, they started out great. You saw them improve. The numbers went up, right? People were excited, Jordan, in the dome. They were chanting defense. You're like, what? It's been a while. And then the injuries started to happen. Losing Okafor, I thought, hurt. Losing A.J. Klein was a huge blow. You lost D'Angelo. I mean, you were losing starters. You were losing, you know, linebackers left and right. So I love hearing that, though, from him. And look, at the end of the day, like I it's what he says, and it's very true. Because I saw a tweet already. Where's Alex Okafor going to play? If he's healthy, is he good? Well, he's going to rotate with Davenport. It's not a bad thing to have. It's just in. You actually may get tired during a game. You'll try to constantly fresh your legs tend to help. You saw the backfield with the Saints. Not having one person take the full load helps, right? They were healthier last year, the running back core. So you definitely want that as well. But as far as Marcus Davenport goes, Dennis Allen. Now, one of the things that you definitely see is on Davenport is him being an athletic freak.
Look, we're going to play him at the right end to start off with and evaluate him there. You know, I think the one thing that really stood out to us throughout the draft process was really just his ability to rush the passer. We felt like, you know, he had a unique skill set that allowed him to be able to rush the passer. He's got size, he's got length, he's got speed. So all the qualities that you're looking for, he has, and now it's just a matter of getting him out here, getting him accustomed to what we're going to ask him to do, and helping him to develop.
And that develop comes across from what a lot of people say. He's got a lot of raw talent, got to fine-tune it.
Well, here's what I say. I say a talented player. I see a guy that has all the qualities that you're looking for in a right defensive end, with the ability to rush the passer. He's got the size, he's got the length, he's got the athletic ability. And now, you know, it's really up to us as coaches and him as a player to develop those athletic qualities and turn him into a good football player.
How about the fact the team traded up to go get somebody from the edge?
Those aren't decisions that I make. Obviously, we were certainly excited that we got the player because he was somebody that we targeted from very early on in the process that we felt like he really had a unique skill set and we felt like we could really utilize his talents. And so, you know, obviously I was excited when Sean and Mickey and those guys decided to move up and take the player, and we feel great about having him.
I so badly wanted to be the follow-up right in the middle there, but Mike was asking him some questions, Mike Triplett. I was going to go, so, like, you weren't in the draft room and going, Marcus Davenport. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You didn't suggest it. Oh, he was still on the board. You go, Davenport. You don't have everybody turn around and go, what? What was that? Nothing. No, sneeze. Davenport. I mean, he was asked as well. It's the whole small school thing, right? Not Power 5, not SEC. How does it factor in, or does it matter that you coached him differently? Do you expect differently?
Well, look, I think the first thing you're really looking for is how does he acclimate himself into the locker room environment? How does he acclimate himself when he comes out here onto the field and, you know, he's got, Cam Jordan sitting on one side of him, Sheldon Rankins, David, some of those guys, you know, that have established themselves in the league, and how does he, how does he fit in with that group? And I don't think he's going to have any challenges there.
You know, one of the things, too, when you think about it, and you heard when I was playing JT Barrett earlier saying, hey, look, when you go to Ohio State, it's a different expectation level. It's covered differently, right? I kind of joke and have a little fun a lot of times, too, with how LSU was covered here, like the spring game. I mean, people live tweet it per play at a spring game per play. Gain of 4. Incomplete. Ball batted down. I mean, like, it's... I'm just saying, it's, I mean, some college football programs are, Ohio State's absolutely one of them. I mean, you see it. I mean, when you go places, when it's a big team like that, the amount of people that cover them, the amount of information that people want to know about it. And it's one of the things I mentioned in hour number one about JT Barrett. He's right there with Thomas and Bell and Lattimore. Just when you speak to them, it's just like, this is no big deal. In terms of, it's not too big for you. And I can understand how it could be. So it was interesting to hear Dennis Allen kind of touch on that. How does he acclimate himself to the locker room there? And there's Cam Jordan over there. It's funny because Davenport's locker, it's like 3 or 4 away from Cam Jordan. And it was funny because I noticed there was a Cam Jordan like poster picture, sort of big old blown up photo of him about to go get a sack. And I almost asked him, like, did you think Cam kind of put that on purpose to have it there? But look, I'll tell you what, he's a guy, when you talk to Davenport, he's a man of a few words. That's for sure. That's not a bad thing, and that's not what I'm getting at. It's just, you might get a sentence or two, but, when we talked to him after Saturday, he was just trying to learn, trying to get acclimated to it, but he definitely comes across, like Sean Payton said, it's not a guy that it is too big for him, but he wants to just soak it up and learn. Again, the biggest thing for him is playing 2-point stands, 3-point stands, things of that nature.
Right now, it was weirdly easier, and this is something I have to work on. You know, I was in 3-point stands for my first 2 years. And
Why is it easier?
I have great coaching. You know, I'm just working on my technique. It's just, I've been doing it since the Senior Bowl, so I've been working on it.
And that, of course, 3-and-2, it's, you know, your placement, now you're getting there, standing up, hand on the ground, things of that nature. Sean Payton was asked after that practice as well, what is he going to be in more? Is he going to be down? Is he going to be standing up? Moving around.
Right now, it was.
And there's Coach.
Oh, he'll play in a 3, and there'll be times where we stand him up, I'm sure. The key is the leverage and the technique, but he's handling it well. He's long.
He's long. Long and strong. A little more from Coach.
He's doing well. He's working on the right side. He's getting a lot of work on his stance. He played from a 2-point quite a bit a year ago, but he's doing well.
So it'll be interesting to just kind of notice and see that, which is why, as I mentioned in that one play that I mentioned a lot about with JT Barrett, on how Michael Olah was being able to block him very well too, is that I'm sure the one thing that he learned and noticed immediately, especially with Olah being a veteran, speed, size, strength, that's another day at the office for an offensive lineman in the NFL. Oh, so you're big. Awesome. I do that. I go up against them all the time. Oh, spin move. Hadn't seen that before. Oh, you try to bum rush or bull rush on the outside, speed rush. Yeah, well, I got that too. And you saw that. You saw that with Olah. Again, that one play I'm talking about where Barrett kind of didn't flinch, made the throw on the outside. Dude, Davenport smoked Olah right off the line. He was gone. Then he dipped that left shoulder and he was going up the field, but the veteran left tackle used his hands, took that momentum, pushed him just far enough. Barrett had the perfect passing lane, made the throw. Again, those are all things he's going to learn. So it'll be interesting to see as that progression goes. Again, the next time we'll see him will be, you know, next week when that takes place. When we come back, we'll continue kind of playing and kind of seeing what some of these other guys felt with their first days of rookie minicamp. Coming up next hour, head coach Willie Fritz going to jump in the conversation at 2:05, kind of touch on his green wave as they wrapped up, obviously, spring game. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I was set to talk to him after the spring game. Something came up I couldn't, so we'll just touch base quickly on that as well. And maybe his thoughts on a guy like a Tre'Quan Smith and getting a lot of more players from the American Conference. You know, you see them go and get a lot of recognition, from SMU to what have you, into the NFL, including two of his guys getting drafted in the NFL. So we'll touch on that. 2:15, Marlon Fayrad. I'm going to ask him specifically about the hands and the hand battles that we saw with Davenport and Ola and some of the other players. And how long does that take to sort of develop? And is that sort of the next line of development for guys, as he likes to say, inside the trenches? Dino Hanson, 2:30, Eastern Conference Finals. Game one goes to the Celtics, 108-83 over the Cavs. Ooh, that was impressive. Tonight, Western Conference Finals, Warriors and Rockets. Who you got? Jordan, I'm going to ask your pick in hour three as well. Warriors, Rockets, who you got? You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Could I be so foolish? Played Curtis Johnson a little bit ago talking about one of the things they're focusing intensely in the receivers room for the New Orleans Saints is being able to block, the ability to block. And I mentioned that's probably the only reason Brandon Coleman is on the team, because he is. I mean, he's been a solid blocker and all that. And imagine that. Brandon Coleman's agent apparently is on the phone. All right, well, I seriously doubt it's his real agent, which can only probably mean one thing. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Doing just fine, Gus. Thanks for having me on. As you know, a close personal friend and the agent of Brandon Coleman, I just wanted to call in because you're not going to challenge me to give you 16 reasons. I think I'm going to wait till tomorrow.
Have at it.
Okay, number one, he spells his name Brandon properly. None of that funny stuff with putting an I instead of an O or E. No, he spells his name properly. His name is Brandon. You put an O in them, you got it.
Okay.
Number two.
That's one.
He gets all kinds of discounts on cool ice coolers and camping equipment. Very important.
I see.
Very
that.
Important.
Get it. Coleman. Jordan the intern would look puzzled. Coleman. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. There I mean, go. You know, it is time for them to do OTAs, mini camp, and of course training camp. Where are you gonna get camping equipment if you don't have Brandon Coleman on the team?
Okay, there you go. Joey, you're encouraging him. He says only 13 more. Go ahead.
He has his very own furniture company. That kind of helps out with the decor over on Elon. Very own furniture company. Did
okay.
you know that?
Okay, that's four.
He gave out mini bikes from his other company for Christmas gifts to all the players and coaches.
I don't
You didn't even know that.
No,
I didn't.
Didn't
get one.
Yeah, no, I did not. Okay, next.
Yeah, Coleman Bikes. You'll learn about mini bikes one of these days.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the Saints get their tractors to cut the grass at the practice facility? Coleman, baby. He has tractors, too.
I didn't realize that was a brand of tractor. Okay. Next. Go ahead. Ten
you
more.
That's why I'm here. Six. He's 6'6".
Oh.
6'6". Where are you gonna get that kind of size? Think Tommy Lee Lewis is going to grow overnight? No chance, buddy. He's 6'6".
Nine more.
Seven. He's the best blocking wide receiver on the team.
I'll give you that one next.
Yeah, I know. You can't dispute it. Number eight. Drew said there's not a wide receiver on the roster that he trusts more, and that's with Michael Thomas. Ha!
The heat got to him. It was clearly
not at all.
There is
not
no way he trusts Brandon Coleman more than Michael Thomas.
Sir, aren't you responsible for cutting sound? Didn't you cut the sound in which he said it?
Like I said,
yourself.
like I said, he must have bumped his head on his car getting out of something. It wasn't right that day.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Number nine doesn't know what he's talking about. He's only a Hall of Famer. But okay, fine. Speaking of nine, he's cost efficient. He doesn't even cost you a lot. You pay him $1 million, you get about 50 catches, a couple of touchdowns.
Wait, 50 catches? Okay.
I mean, you know, that might be total, but still, he has 50 catches.
Next.
Number 10, no off-the-field issues whatsoever. You never hear this guy getting in any trouble, now do you? Get the ball behind the wheel of his car.
By the way, he had 23. Number 11. He had 23 catches, nowhere near 50.
Hey, listen, semantics.
Okay.
Number 11, mm-hmm. 60% of the time, he catches the ball every time.
Wait, what? No, Joey, yeah. he doesn't get a ding for that.
Yeah.
Next.
Of course, he's only lost one playoff game in his entire career. Only one playoff game in his entire career.
Wow.
He's only on a team right now.
He's only been in one.
That's not true. He's played in three. He's 2-1.
Nope. Right, go ahead.
He's only lost one game.
Go ahead.
Nope.
Okay. He has the cure for the Elgato Negro curse. You've been trying to get rid of him for years, and he's still around.
Elgato Negro.
He is the cure for the Elgato. I'm not trying to get rid of him. I'm just surprised every year when he makes the roster.
Every year you do this. 14. Okay. He's a close personal friend of mine. Who am I going to go out and see and dap it up with and be cool with at the around?
You've never dapped Brandon Coleman.
Yeah, I have plenty of times. Thank you. In fact, I'll see him later on. I'll tell him what you said.
Next
of all, he is the guy that's the reason for the snowball stand. It was his idea for the snowballs to come around, not Drew Brees. Drew took it from him and bought everybody one. In fact, next time they come, I'm going to make sure Jordan gets his snowball because you ain't man enough to get him one.
No,
I'll make sure Brandon gets us one.
It's not anything about being a man enough. He's not on the team. The team gets the snowballs, not the people covering the team.
I'll talk to Brandon about that. We'll see just gets a snowball, and you ain't getting one.
Two more.
And finally. No, see, you're off. See, this is why your math is off. It's the last one coming up, and the most important one. He wears number 16. That's why I got 16 reasons for Coleman still being around. You know what your problem is, Gus? You don't know the number 16 because all you worry about is that stupid number 17.
That's right. One better.
And you're still not on the team.
Very good.
There he is.
Challenge me, buddy.
There he is, Mr. Brandon Elise. We will see you tomorrow. We'll get your observations. Preview of the observations in 30 seconds from tomorrow. What is the one thing that did stand out to you?
Michael Olah and his ability to keep the rookie draft pick Marcus Davenport at bay using long arms technique. I mean, don't get me wrong. Davenport got the best of him maybe one or two plays, but that guy was stonewalling Davenport a couple of times and was really impressive because that's what gave JT a lot of that time to throw those complete passes that you were talking about.
Yep, the team gave him a one-year deal. And again, that's just state. Let's see if he makes the team and continues to add depth to this offensive line if that continues. So it is what it was. We got to see a little bit of practice. We'll touch a little bit more on some of the other things you and I saw on Saturday as well. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, dude. Take care, Jordan. Take care, Jordan.
See you later, bro. No. You don't say take care, Jordan. Go away.
Gus, I'm about to leave.
There's the door right there. I need the both of you.
Bet.
Encouraging.
Bet.
Did you just say bet?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Legalized gambling just hits the books. See what I just did there? Earlier this morning, and you're ready to throw it away. Throw it all away. Coming up, top of next hour, head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave, Marlon Favorite at 2:15, Dino Hanson. 2:30. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. My baby loves